This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode number 5 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. I'm Mike Scopa from the WW Today Podcast, and with me on the show today is Disney blogger, Disney runner, and college professor, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Doc. I've got this pain in my left knee.
I'm not that type of doctor, silly. Well, hello. I just had a great run here in wonderful New England, and I'm feeling really happy to do the show today. But I have a wonderful shout-out to somebody special who just ran his first marathon today in Connecticut. So shout-out to Rich Gehring in Connecticut, who ran... Not only did he run his first marathon yesterday, but then he went to his brother's wedding afterwards. So, yay, Rich! Wow. Isn't that
nice
wonderful?
Job. Yay! That's cool.
So, we at the Mickey Miles Podcast think you're awesome.
Didn't Dustin Hoffman run that far? No, never mind.
Okay.
All right. Also with us on the show from SockGeek.com and Capital City Running is Steve Bernhardt. What's the weather like in Austin these days, Steve?
Well, I actually went for a long run in the rain this morning. It was actually kind of nice. So I got to see the sun rise, and we had a little bit of lightning. But I'll tell you, I'll take it over the August heat anytime. So definitely things are getting a little bit better down here in Central Texas right now for runners.
So wait a second. You're telling people it's okay to run in the lightning?
It was a little nerve-wracking at times. You know, I kind of got into my head a few times there. But I figured, hey, I was running fast enough, it couldn't catch me.
Oh, boy.
It'll catch me, that's for sure. On today's show, we thought we'd try to do a few things. One of the things we've thought about doing is we would like to run through the Run Disney schedule over the next 6 to 9 months, maybe close to a year. We want to inform everyone what's coming up, where it's coming up, how the registrations are going, and just give everybody a heads up on all the Run Disney events so that everybody is up to date with what's going on. Also, what we're going to do after we go through all the Run Disney events is that we're going to handle a subject matter that a lot of people who are getting into running are always asking, and that is, what should I do 24 hours before a race? Now, there are those people who are training for Run Disney events who, before they even get to that Run Disney event for which they're training, may and should try a race close to home, and they would prepare 24 hours before that race one way, and they need to know what the difference is between preparing for that race and for the Run Disney race. So we'll do that on the second half of the show. So that for now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Run Disney events coming up, and first we're going to talk about what's coming up in November, and for that I'm going to toss it over to Michelle. Michelle?
Oh, sure. I can't wait for this one. This is going to be the third Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend. That's going to be on November 9th and November 10th, 2012. And that half marathon is actually sold out, but it should be really, really fun. That's coming up in just a few weeks. The morning of the half marathon is Mickey's Jingle Jangle 5K. That's right now at 73%, so people can still do that. I'm not brave enough to run a 5K early in the morning and then a nighttime half marathon, so I'm going to have to get reports from other people about that one. There are also the Run Disney Kids races over at the Wide World of Sports. Those are 69% full right now. And then the Wine and Dine finish line party. If you didn't get into the half marathon and you want to go to the party, you can do that. That's at 90% right now. But, Mike, what's coming up after that? A big weekend.
Well, January is the granddaddy of them all. It's the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, and that's held January 10th through the 13th, 2013. And there are a lot of things that go on that weekend. Disney Family Fun Run 5K it's becoming more and more popular over the last 3 years. That has been jumping several 100% every year. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen in January. That's only 76% full. So
I love that one. I highly recommend that.
For those of you who are thinking about going to, who are going to do anything like a half or the full that particular weekend, you may want to look at that. It's a really, really, it's a fun, I mean, everybody walks through Epcot. It's really fun. Again, it's only 76% full. Also, I think Thursday and Friday, I'm not positive which particular day, but there are the Run Disney kids races that are held at the World of Sports. They're only 50% full. So if you're bringing the family and you want to introduce the kids to running, that's a good time to do it. The half marathon, which is on Saturday, is sold out. Usually is something that sells out late September through between the end of September through Thanksgiving is usually when that sold out, and that is gone. The Walt Disney World Full Marathon has been sold out for a while. It's the 20th anniversary, and there's a beautiful spinning medal. So that was kind of a big-time carrot for everyone. So that is sold out. What's also sold out is the Goofy's Race and a Half Challenge, and that is for those people who do the half on Saturday and do the full on Sunday. There is no marathon relay this year because of many reasons. One particular is that there's a big-time anniversary marathon on Sunday. So that's it for January. And that's it for January, I should say, in Orlando. I'm going to turn it over to Steve to talk about what's going on the other coast in January. Steve?
Well, the ladies-focused Tinkerbell Half Marathon weekend at the Disneyland Resort is January 18th through the 20th. And it's pretty much sold out across the board. The half is sold out. The family 5K is sold out. The kids races are sold out. So probably has a lot to do with that large population base there in Southern California getting out for that two events a year at the Disneyland Resort, and they take full advantage of it. You can still jump into the pasta party or the night before or the breakfast the day of. They're a little bit over 50% sold out. But if you want to run the Tinkerbell Half Marathon through the Disneyland Resort and the surrounding Anaheim area, you're going to have to wait until 2014, it looks like. All right, Michelle?
Oh, I'm going to have to jump on that one next year. But February coming up back on the other coast at Walt Disney World is one that I'm looking forward to. It's going to be my first time running it. That's the weekend of February 22nd through the 24th, 2013, and that's the Princess Half Marathon weekend. And finally, we have a race that people can still sign up for because that's only 72% full. So I know I'm going to be there, but guys can be there too. And I know Mike ran it a few years ago and said it's a wonderful race. I've heard many people say it's a great race, so I'm excited about that. The race retreat for that is only at 80% full. And then there's also a breakfast that's 52% full. And Mike, what about May?
Well, before I even get to May, let me talk a little bit about that Princess Half Marathon. I ran it several years ago, and one of the reasons why I was raving about it, Michelle, was number one, there weren't that many people as compared to the half marathon that is held in January. So there were fewer people running, which was nice. Number two, I don't know what it was. It was late February, and the weather was perfect for running. Even in January, it could be a little cool or too warm sometimes, like it was several weeks ago in September when we ran the 10-miler. But for some reason, that February weather, it was just perfect. There were a lot of characters and everything, and so that was something that I really enjoyed. Now, getting to May, this one I've never done. It's on May 4th, they will Run Disney will hold their Expedition Everest Challenge weekend. Registration is not open. It's a little bit different than your race. It's a little bit of an obstacle course. It's something a little bit more than that too. I think that it would be well worth anyone's while to check to see if that's the kind of a Run Disney event that they would like to do, because it's not your basic race.
The medal looks cool.
Yeah, the medal is cool. It takes place in the Animal Kingdom, of course. And along with that, they do have Run Disney Kids races, and they have a post-race party. And that's coming up May 4th. Registration, again, is not open. Now, another Run Disney event which does not have open registration yet is the Disneyland Half Marathon. That is being held that weekend is August 31st through September 2nd, 2013. And in that that particular Disney event weekend, run Disney event weekend, there is a half marathon, Disneyland half marathon. And basically it's the same course as the one that Steve was talking about, the Tinkerbell. There is a Cars Land 5K rally, which would be interesting. That must be
that
fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and there's a they do have Run Disney Kids races planned. I'm not sure where they'll hold those, but they are being planned. There's of course, and they and as what's going on with a lot of the Run Disney events, there is a Pasta in the Park party. I believe that's held the night before, but I'm not sure. But that's it for the. That's it for the Run Disney calendar for now. We will, from time to time, talk about what's going on. If there are any Run Disney events, we will try to keep everybody up to date on any changes. Of course, you can always check the Run Disney website in case you are thinking of registering, and that's where you can find all the information. So that takes care of that. So now let's go to the first of two questions that I know that I've gotten in the past. People have asked me, and I think I'm going to let Steve start us off on the discussion. I'm going to put you on the spot, Steve. So okay. You, let's say we have someone who is getting into running, and they want to – let's take it easy. Let's say it's either a 5K or a 10K, and they're looking to maybe train for a 10K at Disney or maybe a half marathon. Okay. What would you suggest to them to anticipate what they should do, how they should prepare for the race 24 hours before race time?
Well, one thing that makes things very unique about running a Run Disney race versus other places is the allure of the parks. I learned this firsthand when I ran my first marathon down there, about 7-8 years ago. We came in a few days early. We bonsaied the parks. And come up on Sunday morning for the marathon, and my legs were shot. So I think that's the first caveat I give to anybody that goes down there to run a race, regardless of distance, is you need to kind of sometimes it's maybe better to arrive a little bit before your race and do your touring afterwards, because that's a big pitfall that you can get into going down there is getting into those parks and grinding those legs down before race day. So that's something definitely critical. Also, I guess, is heat, weather down there. If you come from a climate where you're not used to that heat, you really got to stay on top of that hydration. I'm big on, carrying around a bottle of Gatorade the day before a race and topping off my hydration stores there, I guess, for lack of a better term. Definitely do that. Eating, is always a challenge down there. Obviously at Disney, especially if you're not familiar with a lot of the restaurants of where to go to eat prior to an event, ADRs could play a role in there in getting the right restaurant and getting the right time of the day. So you need to pre-plan for that well in advance. So those are a couple of things based on, my previous experience going down and learning how to run a Disney race that are some challenges, from hydration to dining to, to resting up for the race that I think are really unique, going down to a Disney race versus maybe going down to running here a local, race here in Austin, for example.
So, Michelle, if you were to tell someone what they should do for a non-Disney race versus a Disney race, what would you tell them?
Oh, I would say a lot of the similar things. I'm from New England, so weather's always a key issue, and I'm always looking at the weather a few days before a race to see, is it going to rain? How many layers am I going to have to wear or take off during the race? And also just making sure that I rest a lot, just as I would at Walt Disney World. It's easier to rest when you're at home thinking, oh, I'm going to do a race tomorrow. But when you have the call of the parks, it's difficult to get off your feet. But drinking lots of water a few days before and then really drinking a lot of water the day before the race is something that I do.
I'm going to take a little bit further. When I am preparing for a race at home, I have more control over what's going to happen 24 to 48 hours ahead of time. Sure. I can control things like hydration better. I can control things like watching my legs. I can control my eating habits. I can control a lot of things. And one of the things that I see as a big difference 24 hours before a Disney race and 24 hours before a race at home is that if I'm traveling down to Anaheim or Orlando, I have to take every bit of running gear that I might need. It may be a, you know, it may be a long sleeve. It may be a short sleeve. It may be a singlet. It may be, I may need a hat. I may need a whole bunch of things, especially in January where I've seen everything from 38 degrees, walking to the start in 38 degrees and walking to the start in 78 degrees. So you don't have that luxury at a Run Disney event or 24 hours before a Run Disney event as you would at home. That is, you don't know what type of weather you're going to get into. So your preparation beforehand is really like packing and all that kind of stuff. That's really part of the challenge of running in a Disney race versus the race at home. The other thing is that if you've never run the race and if you're not sure about the course, then you can't put in your mind what's going on. I've run in races at home where I've actually driven or actually run the course. Michelle, we did the soup kitchen race a few years ago, and I remember running the course the week before, so I'd get an idea regarding the hills and valleys and things like that. So that's what I see the differences are. Steve, you want anything else you can think of?
No, I agree with you. It's definitely pick those course maps up off the Run Disney website and study those. There is some portions of it you could maybe pre-drive like you were talking earlier. You know, also just from your general race preparation, doing some visualization. There's plenty of, you know, pictures around that show the course, the finish line, the start line, those kinds of things. You know, you want to think about those kinds of things and kind of, you know, I'm a big believer in visualizing the finish line in a race. So when you start to kind of get a little fatigued, you know what you're running toward, and it kind of, you know, prepares the body and the mind to accomplish that. So, you know, look at some of those pictures of other people that have run some of the Disney races or some of the stuff on the Run Disney website and use that as motivation and visualization, you know, working your way up to the time of the event.
It's really interesting because Mike really is very organized about his races, and he used to take me around, even driving around Epcot, or on the way to Epcot, way around the Magic Kingdom, he would say, oh, we're going to run here, we're going to run there. And I think, oh, I really kind of want to be surprised. But the more that I've gotten into running, the more I realize just what you said, Steve, that it's really important, like mentally, to be able to know where I'm going to be and what the conditions are. And, oh, I'm going to have to go up a ramp that's kind of steep, and it's kind of at the end of the race. So at least I can pace myself and kind of think through what's going to happen. I also wanted to pick up on something that you said, Mike, about packing everything, because I know you're a great packer and a planner. But I remember one year we were going down there and to Orlando, and it was sort of iffy what the weather was going to be. I think it was the year that it was actually snowing, and we were at the expo. And we actually didn't have exactly what we thought we might need. So even if you don't pack everything, you should remember that the expo is there. And they have all weather gear. If you forget something, you can get it at the expo. So pack what you can, but you don't necessarily need everything. You're going to pay more probably at the expo if you wait till then. But you know, there's all sorts of different cold weather gear and things like that. The nice thing about packing it ahead of time is something we mentioned before, that you can actually peel off the layers as you go when you get warm, so you don't have to worry about it. So
yeah, I you know, the talk about the ramp and everything, there are a lot of people who have come up to me the first time running the half marathon down in Orlando, and they've asked me about the course. And I said, okay, so this is where the hills are, and this is where the ramp is, and after so many miles you're going to be cruising, and then you have to preserve your energy because there's this crazy ramp that you have to go up, and then there's another ramp, overpass that you have to go, and it's really important, if you can, a day or two before you get down there, to really think about where you're running and to do a pre-course investigation, just so that you know what you're in for. And that goes true of whether it's a Run Disney event or a non-Run Disney event. You really have to take care of yourself. So number one, hydrating. Hydration well before the race, not just 24 hours, but 72 hours. 84 hours before the race, if 96 if possible. Number two, try to understand what you're going to be running, and also understand how much energy you need to preserve in anticipation of the race. So, Steve, Michelle, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. I wanted to talk a little bit more about what Steve mentioned, which is about the eating. I think looking at the menus ahead of time is a great suggestion that Steve had, that you can get the menus online and look at them. But I'd also suggest that you try to find a place that's close to your resort, because you can really get into a situation where you're traveling a long way just to get to where you're going to eat. For example, if you go to Trail's End and you're not staying at Fort Wilderness, or you could be on buses and be walking for quite a long time. So find a place in your resort or close to your resort so that you're not walking a long way, and that you know what is on the menu ahead of time before you get there. So it's not something that's going to make you have an upset stomach, which you don't want before you start your race. Guys, did we want to talk about what to do in terms of, we're talking 24 hours before, so what about the last few hours before you're going to run at a Disney race? What would you suggest?
Well, I think everybody's different. Steve, why don't you jump in first?
Well, I was just going to add one more thing into the general 24-hour thing is before we maybe talked about specifically maybe on race morning. But, you know, I think one of the big challenges that a Disney race offers that a lot of other races don't is that morning transportation. So, you know, make sure you're clear. You know, if you need to go to the concierge desk or you know, they have some information, people at the expos that can explain all that to you. I think that can create a lot of anxiety for a lot of people. I know it has for me in the past. So that was one I wanted to bring up, is just to make sure you knew where your bus is going to be, where it's going to deliver you, and so you know your transportation to the start line is something that needs to be clarified. You know, in the mornings, you know, it depends on what you've been doing in your training as far as what do you like to eat before a race. You know, obviously, you don't want to try anything new on race morning, but you know, if you're used to having a bagel or a banana or gels or whatever you like to have in the morning before race time, you know, understanding where you can go, what's going to be open and available to you, I think is real critical.
I think that's such a good point, Steve, to eat what you have been eating during your training, because I know that I've tried to switch it up. I don't usually eat bagels. I eat yogurt, which I know a lot of people say you're not supposed to eat, but that works for me. But I've tried to eat something different before a race, and I've felt like at mile four that I have a little bit of a cramp in my stomach. So I think, oh, why didn't I just eat what I usually eat? So that's a really good point.
Yeah, I think as we wrap up this the show, I think one of the things I wanted to add, you guys pretty much said everything that was in my mind. And Steve, especially, it's so important what you said about understanding what you can deal with in your stomach and how close to the race you can eat. That's one thing that as runners, everyone needs to figure out for themselves. How close to the actual race start can I eat, and what should I eat? You don't want to do anything different. And with that, let me make my last point, and that is that the difference, again, between 24 hours at home before a race and 24 hours before a Run Disney race is control. You have more control at home regarding this eating before the day before the race. So with that in mind, trying to give yourself control, understand when your race start is. And if you're making an ADR for a restaurant or whatever, keep in mind when your start time is, and hopefully you'll be in control, the control that you really want to have before you get up to the start. So that's it. That wraps up episode 5 of the Mickey Mouse Podcast. And so what topics would you like to see us discuss on this podcast? So if you have any thoughts on specific topics or areas that you'd like us to discuss, we welcome you to post them on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast, or send us a tweet on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. And you can also send us a question at questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, because we want to keep the conversation going. That's what we're here for. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean and Steve Bernhardt, I'm Mike Scober, and we will see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road. Let's go get away. They say what they're going to say. Have a drink, clink, found the Bud Light. Bad girls like me, it's hard to come by. The Patron, oh, let's go get it on. The Zone, oh, yes, I'm in the zone. Is it 2, 3? Leave a good tip. I'm a blow all my money and don't get too much.